NPR.
It is the Olympics. The games are happening, but this is a really unusual year, and not just because of the pandemic. China, which is hosting the Winter Games in Beijing, is facing a lot of criticism for its human rights record, its restrictions on the press, censorship of everyday citizens, and especially its treatment of Uyghurs. The U.S. State Department says the Chinese government is carrying out genocide. It's forcing people to live in detention camps, forcing Uyghur women to undergo abortions, and forcing them to undergo sterilization.
And because of that, a number of countries, including the U.S., Britain, and Canada, have declared diplomatic boycotts. And it's against this tense backdrop of politics and human rights issues that businesses, you know, the Olympics' corporate sponsors, they're trying to keep a low profile. Usually when you watch the Olympics on TV, there would be tons of ads. But this year has been relatively quiet. Sponsors are caught between a rock and a hard place. If they pump up their sponsorship, they risk alienating some American consumers. And in fact, last summer, a congressional hearing called on American businesses to withdraw their sponsorship of the Olympics.
On the flip side, if businesses speak out against the Chinese, they risk losing China's almost 1.5 billion customers, which is like about 4 Americas. I'm Sally Herships.
And I'm Adrian Ma. Today's indicator is $200 million. That's around how much it costs to become an Olympic sponsor.
Today on the show, how do you navigate when you know no matter what you do, you're gonna lose?
This message comes from NPR sponsor Odoo. Odoo is a suite of user-friendly business applications designed to automate, streamline, and simplify every aspect of your business from anywhere at any time. For a free trial, go to odoo.com/indicator.
For athletes, the Olympics is one of the biggest events in the world. And you know what? It is the same thing for advertisers.
You're talking about one of the most recognizable brands in the world.
Scott Rosner is an industry consultant, and he's advised brands from Adidas to the NFL. And he says, to get ready for the Olympics, brands have signed deals, written contracts, and spent hundreds of millions of dollars on rights and ad campaigns.
Okay, we know what you get if you're an athlete and you win the Olympics. Undying glory, an amazing medal, maybe the best feeling in the world. But what do you get if you're an Olympic sponsor?
At its baseline, what you're talking about are those 5 interlocking rings. You're talking about the right to call yourself an official sponsor of whatever games you're talking about, right? You're an Olympic sponsor. And those in and of themselves, while some people, you know, will snicker at that, those are incredibly valuable pieces of intellectual property.
Yeah, we're not talking about like a small local event, right? We're talking about one of the biggest sporting events in the world. Games only happen every 4 years, and practically the whole world tunes in at some point. So sponsoring the Olympics can cost hundreds of millions of dollars, but it can be worth it. Coca-Cola has been a sponsor since 1928, and it's back again this year. And you've also got companies like Panasonic, Toyota, and Visa.
But this year, sponsors are faced with making this impossible choice. Who do you keep happy?
It's hard to be a global brand and avoid China.
Scott says on one side of the equation, there's America. And within that, you've got 3 groups of people that you're trying not to upset. Do you risk angering some of your American customers who are maybe questioning your ethics? But you also don't want to anger customers who would be furious if you pulled sponsorships for an event that supports hardworking American athletes. And let's not forget the shareholders, right, who want to maximize their profits by keeping Chinese customers happy.
Then on the other side, you have to worry about China, the Chinese government, then there are Chinese companies, and Chinese consumers. And Scott says it is when we turn our attention to Chinese consumers that things get especially delicate.
Chinese nationalism is very strong. And so companies that have made outward public statements have to be prepared for the blowback from that, because the companies that have made statements to that effect have had major issues with the Chinese consumer.
Take Intel. the United States put sanctions in place over China's treatment of its Uyghur minority. And this winter, Intel followed the sanctions. It sent a letter to its suppliers telling them it wouldn't use labor or services or goods from the Xinjiang region. The letter went viral on Chinese social media. Chinese consumers were angry. This famous singer, Carrie Wong, spoke out against Intel, saying, quote, "National interests came first."
This was a big problem for Intel, which makes billions of dollars in China. It was so bad that Intel deleted the original statement from its website and issued an apology. And this past spring, Adidas had a similar situation. It said it was going to stop buying cotton and other raw materials from the region, and boom, it got hit with a boycott from Chinese consumers. But Scott says the risk of upsetting Chinese Olympic fans also goes way beyond the risk of alienating customers.
Given the role of Chinese manufacturing in the global marketplace, this is not just a consumption issue, it's a manufacturing issue. So it is in many ways a no-win situation for companies that take a stance, whether you're an Olympic sponsor, whether you are any other company in the world. When you take a stance on this, you have to be prepared for the negative piece that you are going to incur in the Chinese marketplace.
Now, there is precedent for this. In the 60s, South Africa was banned from the Olympics because of apartheid. But Scott says that situation was different. South Africa did not have the same buying and manufacturing power as China does today.
The challenge around China specifically is its heft. Its population and the size of the population. It's been done before, but in markets where it really hasn't mattered as much to your bottom line.
The organization that oversees where the Olympics are held is the International Olympic Committee, the IOC. And the IOC says sports and politics should be separate. But Scott doesn't buy that argument.
There's a reason why the IOC awards the games to different countries. And just like any other business, they understand the importance of access to the Chinese marketplace. 1.4 billion consumers.
It's also worth mentioning that hosting the Olympics has not been super popular the past few times. Beijing was up against Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan lost by 4 votes. Think about all the work you have to do as an Olympic host. There are all these stadiums you have to build, special events you have to plan. You have to make sure your transit system is working. We have not even gotten to security yet.
I've always found it, quite frankly, disingenuous when the IOC talks about the notion of being apolitical in nature and focusing only on sports. Because, Sally, what's the great moment of the Olympic Games? When the athlete climbs the podium and we watch and we cry, because what's playing?
The national anthem.
That is exactly right. So how can you on one hand claim to be in a political organization, yet the crowning achievement of the athlete's life, there's an anthem played, and those anthems mean different things to different people.
So for now, most sponsors are staying quiet. But we do have one example of an organization in the sports world that's taken a clear stand. After a star Chinese tennis player named Peng Shuai accused a Chinese official of sexual assault, the WTA, that is the Women's Tennis Association, canceled 10 tournaments it had planned to play in China. But he says, like any game, the strategy may or may not pay off.
And one thing that's specific to the Olympics, at least for sponsors, is that advertising can be a long game. When you sign up as a sponsor, you are not just in it for Beijing. You're likely also signed up for Paris and LA and lots of future games. So you might say for now, sponsors are just kind of trying to stay quiet and sit on the bench, at least until next time.
This episode was produced by Jamila Huxtable with help from Isaac Rodriguez. It was fact-checked by Corey Bridges. Viet Le is our senior producer and Kate Concannon edits the show. And The Indicator's production of NPR.